Iran announced today that it could breach its commitment to the 2015 nuclear deal in 10 days. That is, if European countries are not able to get to the U.S. to lift the sanctions Washington reimposed on Iran. According to the Iranian government, its stockpile of enriched uranium could exceed the limit allowed as of June 27th. The U.S. has vowed to increase pressure on Iran. We're joined by NPR senior editor and Washington correspondent Ron Elving. Hi, Ron.
Hello, Lisa.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says the U.S. doesn't want war with Iran, but it is considering a full range of options. He also insists that it was Iran that bombed two oil tankers in the Persian Gulf last week. How has this conflict been playing out in the region and with the U.S. allies? Because U.S. and its friends in Europe are not in lockstep on this.
No, Lisa, they are not. And this crisis has the region on edge and U.S. allies urging maximum restraint. That's their language. Iran is locked in an intense rivalry here with some of its immediate neighbors around the Persian Gulf, countries that use that Gulf and the Gulf of Oman to ship the oil. That's their economic lifeblood. The United States does not depend on that oil as we once did, but other parts of the world do. And those other parts of the world want all the hostile parties to back down and back off. And that includes the United States with its tough sanctions on Iran.
The president himself, though, doesn't sound quite as hawkish as his advisors. I wonder how much attention you believe he's been giving to Iran in recent days.
It's possible that in recent days he's given more attention to George Stephanopoulos, spending 30 hours with the ABC anchor last week for a TV special aired last night. Now, we know that John Bolton, the president's national security advisor, sees this moment as an opportunity to squeeze Iran and force our allies to choose sides and back us. But the president himself has lots of other things on his mind, including his official re-election campaign launch, which is tomorrow night in Orlando, Florida.
Well, you mentioned the Stephanopoulos interview. ABC released more of its recent interview with the president. Mr. Trump has insisted he did not try to get special counsel Robert Mueller fired, despite accounts that he had called the White House counsel multiple times to do just that. Let's listen.
I wasn't going to fire. You know why? Because I watched Richard Nixon go around firing everybody, and that didn't work out too well.
The president there invoking Richard Nixon. What do you make of the exchange and this revealing series of interviews as a whole?
Well, starting just with that exchange, the president clearly did not want to personally fire Mueller, but he tried to get others to get rid of Mueller for him. That's from sworn testimony contained in the Mueller report. George Stephanopoulos at one point asked the president if he had read the report, and the president said, oh, yes, of course. Yes, of course I have. Have you? George Stephanopoulos said, yes, I read every word. We know from the White House counsel, Don McGahn, and his testimony to Robert Mueller, and this is in the report, that the president had come in and twice indicated that he wanted someone, perhaps Attorney General at that time, Jeff Sessions, to get rid of Mueller.
The president, as you know, Ron, kicks off his 2020 campaign officially tomorrow, and he is claiming in the meantime that leaked polls that were done by his own campaign showed him at a disadvantage against Joe Biden and that those polls were fake. Now, reports indicate that the Trump campaign is clamping down on its own pollsters. What do you make of all of this?
Well, three pollsters have left the campaign. These were people who had worked for him in 2016. When you get a bad set of polls, your problem may not be the people who did the poll. And firing them is not a good look. It's like firing your personal physician for telling you you've got high blood pressure. In this particular instance, the president can say that in March, maybe these polls didn't look so good, but that since then, with what's happened with the Mueller report and the summary of it that we got from Attorney General Barr, things are actually looking better. And that as people take a long look at the Democratic candidates, Donald Trump is looking better. So that's the White House line at this point, is that March might have been bad, but now things are going fine. But if you look at the polls that are coming from news organizations and news organizations like CNN and also Wall Street Journal, NBC, and also Fox News, they all show double-digit leads for Joe Biden in theoretical matchups for 2020. And that's pretty tough if you're about to launch your campaign tomorrow night.
One other hot domestic issue I want to ask you about, Ron, before we let you go. The Supreme Court released decisions today. Liberals Sotomayor, Kagan, Ginsburg joined conservatives Thomas and Gorsuch about a ruling about racial gerrymandering. What was that ruling consisting of?
Yes, an unusual majority. Sometimes the court rules without really addressing the key issues or the underlying arguments in a case. The court rules instead on the propriety of the procedure by which the case has been appealed, or perhaps the standing of the parties. And we've seen this in some big cases where the court says that the side bringing the appeal does not really have the proper standing. In this particular case, it came from Virginia, where the voting districts were thrown out because they disadvantaged minority voters. The legislature redrew the maps that are now in effect. But part of the legislature wasn't happy with that remapping, and the Republican-controlled chamber of the state legislature tried to have that overturned. And today the Supreme Court said, no, you don't get another kick at the cat.
Just want to ask you one other thing about the Supreme Court decision. It ordered Oregon's Court of Appeals to take up the case of a baker in Oregon. The baker refused to make a wedding cake for a same-sex couple. The Oregon court had ruled in favor of the couple. Now, in light of the Supreme Court decision, what could happen?
Well, the Oregon courts are going to weigh back in, and we'll have at least one ruling from those courts. And whatever they rule could be in favor of the baker, could be in favor of the couple. Whoever comes out ahead in the Oregon courts is probably going to have that case appealed. The losers are going to appeal the case back into the federal system, and we could reach the Supreme Court with that one again.
Good to talk to you as always. NPR senior editor and Washington correspondent Ron Elving. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa.